We're thinking about building outreach and belonging. We're not spending one third of the year on each. They are interwoven. They are linked together. It's very hard just to talk about them in isolation. Our plan is Bob, and you'll see during the thank offering that we're going to be using that theme of building, because one of the ways in which we build is actually by investing our gifts, our resources into that kingdom. If you can come back to one, that would be great. We're thinking today about the fact that God's wisdom, and you'll hear that an awful lot, is multicoloured. So can you remember the stained glass? Can you hold that in your mind? That was there, planted at the beginning of the worship, for us to think about variety and multicolour. For us to think about variety in unity, that you don't have to all be the same to be united. We've said that Paul is addressing the church at Ephesus, and he's this strict Jew, but he's still delighted, he's still amazed that God is doing something which is outside of his people group. That's a shock still to him. You can understand that, can't you? A fundamentalist, Pharisaical Jew being convinced by God that God's plan is going to engage all the people of the world. And it's still a great shock to some people, I don't think in our hamlets, because we live in such a multicultural world, but it's sometimes a real shock to people outside of the big cities, even in Britain, to realise that what God is actually doing is so multicoloured, is so varied and different. So this is a key passage for us. God has a plan, and that plan is very clear, and we're going to make reference to it in a moment. God is at work. God is following a plan. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, God makes that plan clear. His plan is to bring everything in all creation, that's all human beings, all animals, all plant life, everything that is in this material world, together. It is not in harmony at the moment. There is so much that is wrong. We talk about a fallen world. And God's plan is to bring everything together under the lordship, the kingship of Jesus. And that is what is actually happening. That is why one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth, where all that is good and righteous and just and true is retained, and all that is contrary to God will be changed to be in line with God's purposes. Although God accepts us as we are, Becca quite rightly corrected herself in having said God doesn't mind that we're not perfect. God is greatly offended by the sin and fallenness of humanity. But she rightly said God loves us enough to accept us and to keep working in our life because we come through Jesus Christ. This plan has to be called a plan which involves the unity of the whole human race. All right, that's just part of it, but that is the plan. So at the end of the beauty queen contest, you know, where she goes, everything she wants to do, and she says, and world peace. That actually, you know, is the longing of God to bring all things together. Unity. And the church is to model that unity here and now, which is a bit of a problem for us because we are so fallen and so broken. And that plan of God bringing things together, particularly human beings, is pictured in this letter to the Ephesians in three ways. It's pictured as a body working well together with each part doing its bit. It's pictured as a bride being prepared for a husband. But significant to us is that God is building something in which he can live out of living stones. Out of living stones. And God's plan, says Paul to the Ephesians, is an eternal plan. It's not just a plan that relates to one generation, but it relates eternally. It is for every generation, for time and all that is beyond time. His plan includes all people and nations, and we've read about that in Ephesians 3. And Paul is writing about this plan, and he wants us to hold in our minds this picture of what God is doing. And I find most people find that quite hard to do. They find it hard because they're so busy in their everyday lives that we become swamped, don't we? So it's survival. We think, right, Easter holidays is 2 weeks away, right, Julie? Finish work, I've got 2 weeks off. Not only can I have a holiday, I can see the kids, I can do this, I can do whatever, okay? But we get swamped by our work and our situation, all of us. But God wants us to be holding in our mind that there is a bigger plan being outworked, that we are a part of us. And of course, God's plan is multicolored, it is multiracial, it is to do particularly with making a fellowship of people. And we have that enjoyment in this church. So the next Saturday evening, the variety and cultural evening, isn't hard for us to do, because we've got that. And we can display that. And we can actually display some of the multicoloured wisdom of God. We'll see all the different giftings. People that tell jokes, see young and old, people who can cook like this, people who can cook. We are displaying the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is that through Jesus, all people should be drawn together. Jonas, you are very distracting. Please move and sit quietly. Thank you. All of us, whatever age, whether we behave well as children or adults, and it's usually the adults that behave far worse, I have to tell you, they just do it in different places. God has drawn us together, and we are for the display of God's wisdom. And it isn't easy to be the church. It isn't easy, but that is God's plan to do that. And as we approach Easter, we're thinking about Jesus drawing all people to himself. And that means that, not just the Jews, but all of the Gentiles, all the peoples of the earth. That is God's plan to do that and to actually make it work. God's wisdom, which is what we're talking about, this multicoloured wisdom, is not just to be seen on the earth. This is the message that Paul declares in verse 10 of chapter 3. He starts talking about other people looking on, principalities and powers. He doesn't just mean earthly ones, but the angels and others looking on and seeing what God is doing. Now, so much in the world wars against this, doesn't it? We've mentioned wars. We've mentioned wars within countries. We've talked about Uganda. We've talked about Nigeria. There so often is conflicts within the world. But God is working to draw people together. This is his wisdom, his manifold, his many-coloured wisdom. And it is for the display, not just of this world, although that is important, but for spiritual beings to see as well. It's like the church can actually be a canvas on which something is painted that people can see. Now, some commentators, like Stott, think it's just so that the angels can see. Others, like Marcus Barth, think that, in fact, it's very much for this world's powers to see. If local governments, if governments are convinced that the church is a positive thing, they will see something of God's work. They may just say, well, they're a community group, they draw people together. But it is for the display of people both on this earth and also for powers that look on. And Paul is convinced of this. The problem, of course, is so often it doesn't seem to work. Sometimes we see it work and we're amazed, and other times it is challenged. We perhaps see Christians that don't want to join in with other Christians. We might see one group of Christians that doesn't want to work with other Christians, and so on. But yet the manifold wisdom of God is that through Jesus Christ, we should be drawn together, and God's people should be working together. God's wisdom is multicoloured, and he picks his words carefully. And today, we're really thinking about what that means. Paul is still amazed, as we've said, by God's plan. Paul has begun to realise that God's plan is bigger and all-encompassing, bigger than his little world. Belonging to a church like that really helps us because we see how big God's plan is. We're able to know the things that are going on in different parts of the world. We're affected by the fact of what is happening in the Philippines at the moment, another nation we could have prayed for as well. We know that God's plan is much bigger. God's wisdom is not just black and white in its limits. It's all-encompassing. It has many facets and many colours. Now, the poem that was read to us by Gerard Manley Hopkins, I find very difficult. I've always found it difficult to appreciate Gerard Manley Hopkins. My head teacher at school used to read it to us all the time in assembly, and I never understood it then. So I had to read the poem about four times, and it's on the back of Flame, and it'll be on the webpage as well. But when you do read it, as well as the wonderful language of Gerard Manley Hopkins, you see that in a small space of time, he's asking us to consider the pied beauty, P-I-E-D, which is such a strange word. Dappled things. Glory be to God for dappled things. There's rarely black and white in the world, and I don't just mean in a moral sense. There is so much colour, isn't there? There's so much variety. And the church is like that. We're hopefully not a cult of people who all dress the same, who all order their week the same, who only work in certain professions and so on. One of the great strengths of the church is the variety, the multicoloured. Now, when I think of piebald, I always think, because it's a word I wouldn't use in my normal life, I think of cowboys and Indians, don't you? I'm too old, you see. The Indians always had the piebald horses, do you remember? And I can remember as a child going, Dad, why are those horses always the black and white ones? And he said, they're piebald. And I can remember going around, piebald, piebald, they're piebald, meaning they are dappled. But piebald just doesn't relate to black and white. Did you know that? Piebald relates to all sorts of colours being together in patches. So Joseph's coat of many colours was a piebald coat. And it was this amazing picture of colour. Motley, heterogeneous, different. Different colours. The church is so varied. Most of us feel comfortable with our own sort of church. But it is actually quite good to go and experience other types of churches and their worship. Not on a regular basis. You should be where God has called you to be. But occasionally it's good to visit. So there's a celebration tonight at Lansbury Lodge with other Tower Hamlets churches that you might want to go to that's advertised. But actually, the church is very, very varied. Some things we like, some things we don't, but the church is certainly varied. And God's wisdom has many, many facets to it. God has chosen to call people out of every nation. God does not favour one nation above another in any way. The message to the world is that everyone is called from every nation, and we can say that unashamedly to people. You've even got the Greek word up here if you want to learn it rather than piebald, but I guess you'll remember that, hopefully, multicoloured. You know, it's Christ, not Coca-Cola, who unites the world. I'm also old enough to remember the, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Do you remember it? You don't remember it, Wilson, do you? No? It's history. You remember it. Right. Well, your child will never know it. All the people, you know, coming along the Green Hill, it's a bit like a Labour Party political, they're all coming together with their bottles of Coke, you know, like this. And Coca-Cola probably has drunk the world over. That's why we've got such big dentistry bills, but there you go. But it's Christ, not Coca-Cola, who actually unites the world. That is his plan, and will draw together people. It's not a brand. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's got Nike on, or the kids want whatever it is. I don't even know the new names. It's not a brand. It's a person. It's not a brand. And yet we think it's the brands that unite. But Jesus is working to draw all people together. And we have a part to play in that, you see. The point of today's sermon is not just me to tell you what is patently obvious. but to say, well, what difference does this make to the people we mix with, spend time with, and how we talk with them and the sort of church that we are? Building with people is not easy. I'm sure you would agree with that. If you were a church minister, you would most certainly agree with that. If you were a church deacon, you would most certainly agree. If you were a youth leader, you'd most certainly agree. It is not easy. And the church is no exception. Is it easy in your workplace to get people to relate together? People genuinely are the weakest link in God's plan. But God has determined that he will work with human beings, not just bringing them to be one, but making them a part of the whole workforce working with him. People are the weakest link, but God is determined to bring weak links together. People do not join the church perfect, do they? Although the world expects us to be perfect. Two writers, Derek and Nancy Copley, said this: some people are shy, some people are aggressive, some people are sluggish, others are hyperactive, and so on. We bring quite different people together in the church. That is what God does. We are very varied. But here, Paul is not talking about people's different characters or their character flaws. Those can be changed, can't they, through the work of God and us cooperating with him? No, God is actually talking here through Paul about different cultures and different colours being drawn together, and that is a complicated fact. The New Testament is about that, how different cultures often found it difficult to relate together. And we are still in that situation, but it is God's wisdom to show the world that it can happen, that in the church this really can happen. But it won't be easy. It will take God's grace and God's help, and it will take all of us being prepared constantly to change. God is building us together into one people. In the same way as a stained glass window is designed, it's planned, it's constructed, God has designed and planned to reclaim, draw together and construct in the shape of the church a glorious window which will display his wisdom. Picture in your minds those wonderful stained glass windows. God has taken the varied, the piebald, the irregular, even the broken and damaged people, and welded them together to form something which, when the God of light shines through, will show even the heavenly rulers his wisdom. And we come to God as broken, as damaged, but bringing colour, culture, difference, variety. And we rub together with one another, but it actually is the love of God which welds us together. And then it's beautiful, and it does work. And we do accomplish much, because although we find it difficult and although we fail, great things are accomplished. We can carry out so much that shows God's goodness. This is a quote from John Stott, dear old John Stott, who's just written his parting shot to the church because he knows he's going to be dying soon. He's written The Radical Disciple. I recommend it to any of you. It's a brilliant little book. From a great man of God that's looking forward to the future rather than the present. And he says this: the church as a multiracial, multicultural community is like a beautiful tapestry. And he's talking about this passage in Ephesians. Its members come from a wide range of colourful backgrounds. You certainly do. Your histories, your backgrounds. No other human community resembles it. That's interesting. Its diversity and harmony are unique. It's God's new society. Now, is that completely true? I wouldn't want to accuse John Stott of lying. That's interesting, isn't it? Have a think about that one. See, I think you could challenge that statement, but I actually do think it's true as well. You see, there are other communities, large, maybe not as diverse. Can you suggest to me a community that is as large, but maybe not as diverse, but it's certainly as large a community, and there's lots of diversity in it? Anybody want to be daring and suggest something? heard a little mumble, Pauline, be brave. Thank you very much for your courage. The Islamic community would be one community, I think, that would actually say, well, we are multiracial, we're multicultural, we're large, and Christians and Muslims always spar over who's, you know, the largest and this sort of thing. The Islamic community could be one. But John Stott says an interesting thing. He says it's a community not just of diversity, but harmony that makes the community unique. Is this true? Do we shine out as a stained glass window? Do we shine out in unity and harmony in the wisdom of God? Here's the challenge to us, isn't it, really? If we are the true multicoloured wisdom of God, drawn together by Jesus Christ, do we display through our joined variety and diversity of race and culture that we are together united and in harmony with the will of God? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge, isn't it? We know what we believe. We know what we believe about Jesus, that he's the way to God. I hope we long that one day all the Abrahamic peoples, Jews and Muslims, will acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ of all peoples. But it is a challenge to us. I reckon you could break into buzz groups now and talk for hours on end. What do we display of the true character of God? Truth speaking, mercy showing, justice, kindness. You see, it's a challenge to live up to being God's people, isn't it? It's a real challenge. It challenges me. It challenges me. Not just whether we have the truth about Jesus, which, of course, I would stand up and shout from the mountaintops and every street corner, but it is the challenge. Do we display in our diversity the harmony that comes from the Holy Spirit, the kindness and the gentleness? Is our longing that people of great difference all will come to know Jesus? All come to know Jesus. Paul was amazed at how many responded. We are broken fragments brought together through Jesus Christ, not through any merit of our own, not because we have a superior culture, but through the mercy and grace of God. And the challenge is that we may be obedient to God's plan, not for world domination, but for the will of God to be done in the earth. That all people may be drawn together through Jesus Christ. See, that was the longing of Paul, the whole of creation. And if we're to be truly evangelistic, we must long for every person to come to Jesus Christ. We must long for that to happen, to pray for that, to work for that. God's plan is to weld us together in love, each with our flaws, our rough corners, to weld us together and to use this many coloured people as a display of his wisdom. And God wants us to cooperate in this. So, as we've been hearing, Jeff spoke to us, we need to show forgiveness. We need to show acceptance of variety. We need to show humility, as Becca spoke to us. We need to show mercy and justice. And the church is created through the power of God's Spirit, gentleness and kindness and truth speaking, and not through enforcement. That's why an army like the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda is more than a cult. It's dreadful thinking that they can enforce through power and their beliefs, their suggestion that they are specially anointed, the will of God. We do not bring in the kingdom of God by the weapons of this world. The hosts of heaven look on to see the wisdom of God. So in each local church, in every small group or cell which gathers around Jesus and follows him as Lord, this work of piecing us together happens, being welded together in all our variety. In our brokenness, God can weld us together. And the church and the tiny group and whatever, wherever Jesus is Lord, can be used to become a thing of great beauty. Great beauty. On its own, one piece of glass is not particularly beautiful, is it, with its chipped corners, although you can hold it up to the light and you see the potential. But put together, that miracle of God drawing together human beings is a display of God's wisdom, not just to this earth or the powers of this world, but to those powers in heaven who either follow Jesus or contest Jesus. And that's how God has chosen it to be. And it might amaze us that God just doesn't enforce his will and bring about his rule like that. But through Jesus Christ, he draws us to himself through our surrender to him. It can be a thing of great beauty, and therefore, I believe, of great power to bring about change. Because in this world, people are desperate for true community and depth of spirit in their lives. And it is, of course, only through that rediscovery of God through Jesus Christ that we discover peace with God and peace with humanity. It is only through the work of Jesus Christ. But how amazing that you and I can be part of something that actually is displaying God's wisdom.